T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
8:14 now, Wednesday morning. We normally talk to Ronald Serapass, our friend, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, does some consulting, and I believe he even has a lawn care business, don't you, if people are interested?
That's funny, Tommy.
Yeah.
I wish I did sometimes to be outside in the beautiful weather we're experiencing.
Today
right now
would be nice, but I'll bet you wouldn't feel that way in June.
No. But you keep a water bottle with you and just throw it over you and flow your hair in the background like a commercial.
You had to say that about the hair, didn't you? I know what you're doing. That's great. No, that's okay. That's fine. Plus, you know, a guy your height, nobody sees the top of your head. Me, everybody sees the top of my head. But we don't need to get lost in these details. Let's get serious here and talk about your experience with consent decrees. And then we'll get to Judge Susie Morgan, and we'll get with we'll talk about the governor and impeachment and all that stuff. But your experience with consent decrees is kind of extensive, is it not, Chief?
It is. I've been around them for a very, very long time. You know, government, like a city, agrees to avoid a lawsuit by entering a consent decree with plaintiffs. And normally the United States Department of Justice is one of the plaintiffs as well. The key to a consent decree is everybody wants to get to the right place. The unknown is, why does it take decades for the people who are supposed to make a department better before they ever make it better? I think a lot of police chiefs, and I candidly think a lot of mayors, are exhausted by what's often referred to as the moving of the goalpost. Mm-hmm. You get to a certain point of compliance, and then it's not good enough yet. That's a problem. The other problem is when these consent decrees are negotiated, Tommy, in a very simple way, you create measures of things that you can count, and you can create measures of things you can feel. And these consent decrees often have a lot more of the "we feel" counts as opposed to the number counts. And the "we feel" counts seem like they can never be reached.
Well, that's because it's subjective, and it's not objective, right? I mean, it's like, you might feel one way today, you might feel one way tomorrow. Let's go back to this whole thing, because, you know, I think because we've talked about it for so long, consent decree, people know of it. They may not know all about it. When you say negotiate, how does a consent decree come about? And then what does it look like?
Well, there's allegations of misconduct by citizens or by the Department of Justice, either state or federal. They initiate an investigation under an authority that they have given to them by legislature or by the Congress. They go through that investigation.
They being the federal government or the police department?
No, you're right. No. This is everybody against the police department based on the complaint. So state attorney generals have done some, but let's just use the federal. The federal government's empowered by a congressional act from 1994 to do these investigations. They do an investigation, which means they bring in some subject matter experts. They do some field interviews with people in the community. They interview the police department. They review documents. They will ultimately often present to the city, we believe there's evidence of patterns in practice, and you can either agree to this and we will create a consent decree, which means we both agree to make changes, or we can go off to court. Last I heard, there was one sheriff someplace in the Carolinas who did go to court with the DOJ and prevailed. He said, "Your math isn't strong enough. I think we've got other people who can show your math is flawed." And he didn't get into a consent decree. But basically, by the time a city's reputation of its department has reached the point for this to happen, there's little to no political power left of the governing mayor to really fight. We're the federal government, and we're here to help. So these consent decrees create patterns and behaviors that must be completed either through quantitative measures, math, or through qualitative measures, how do we feel? and it's assigned to a judge. The judge hires an independent contractor, if you will, an independent monitor who works only for the judge. Then the city is a defendant. The DOJ is a plaintiff. Citizens Group may be a plaintiff. The judge listens to their issues. The independent monitors who work strictly for the judge show the math-based proof things are feeling better or better, or the subjective proof that they think things are getting better. And eventually a judge will say, Tommy, you had 10 requirements. You've met all 10 requirements, but now you have to do that for 2 full years of compliance with less monitoring before we let you off. So even if Judge Morgan said tomorrow, y'all are off, you still got a period of 2 years of compliance for some or all of the paragraphs, the demands that have not been met yet. So it's not going away. You might have a break in the day-to-day management of it, if you will, but you still have to have 2 years of full compliance with inspections before you're completely and totally released.
I'm taking a lot of liberties with world history here, but generally speaking, what would become Russia, the Russians invited the Vikings in to kind of restore order. Is this the same kind of thing we're talking about where the city says, you know what, we've lost control of the department. To avoid any court action, we're going to turn it over to you or agree to, not really co-run it, because the people that are administering the decree are going to be the ones that ultimately run it in terms of feeling things you feel or things that you can count, as you started talking about. And I guess what I'm wondering is, when it comes to New Orleans, did they roll over too quickly, or was it time for a consent decree? Should they have fought it in court? Because if that had been the case, well, we got to take a break here. You can answer all these questions when we come back. If that had been the case, we wouldn't be where we are today with a consent decree. But for the consent decree, where would the NOPD be? So you can address all of that, Chief, when we come back. Ronald Surpass, our guest, talking about consent decree. And we'll eventually get to Troop NOLA and oversight of that as far as the consent decree goes, which it does not include oversight of Troop NOLA, but we'll talk. 820 Traffic Now, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about consent decrees with our guest, Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former superintendent of 3 different police departments in 3 different states. So, Chief, let's go back and say, what if? Should the city have agreed to the consent decree? And if not, where would the NOPD be today?
It's clear to me that when we returned in 2010 that the consent decree was required. There was such a lack of trust and a gap of trust between the community and the police department following the 5 years post-Katrina. There were evidence of police officers who were being tried and convicted of horrific incidences during Katrina that my observation was we had to do it. We didn't have a choice. Secondly, consent decrees can help police departments be funded for the non-sexy, non-fun stuff that essentially breaks down departments, where you can get the funding you need for better equipment, better training, better promotions. Those are the kind of things consent decrees can bring to you. When we reached the point in negotiating the consent decree, my opinion then and still to this day is the Department of Justice took a big swath approach, and really, I think, not being a constitutional expert, they went into areas that had nothing to do with constitutional policing, and there were so many things that maybe if we would have had more strength to be able to fight would have been better. But make no mistake, Tommy, in 2010 and 2011, a consent decree was required to help resettle the footing of the New Orleans Police Department on personnel matters, financial matters, policy matters, disciplinary matters. It needed to be done. But here we are 13 years later. It brings you back to well, if the DOJ was supposed to make this such a better place, why did it take 13 years? Why is it taking 25 years in Oakland? Why did it take 12, 13 years in Seattle? So some part of the model needs to be looked at more effectively. It just can't be it's only the police department. I mean, these things take decades and cost millions and millions of dollars. Why did it take so long?
Is it, does it go back to where we started with you got to get your deal going in?
I think that's the best thing to do. And secondly, you know, one of the, like, for example, in the New Orleans consent decree, it says the department shall staff equal to make community policing working. In 2011 and 2013, I'd been doing community policing for years. It had been being done all over the country. Nobody had a staffing model that made any sense. Nobody really understood, even to today, if community policing could be different between Slidell, Covington, and New Orleans. But that was put in the consent decree. That's a feel. That's something you feel. That's not something you can measure with math. Mm-hmm. Those tend to stay around for a really long time. Third point, Tommy, you have to have staff to do the consent decree. The reason you get them is to get you the staff that you need to help do all the back of office stuff to keep the department running. So the consent decree in 2014, 15, 16, 17, remember I left in 14, seemed to be doing well. Crime was going down. Police officer activity was through the roof. A lot of good things was happening. All of this started to fall apart, and I hate to say it out loud, when Man Cantrell came into office. Just look at the data, look at the charts, look at the graphs. And staffing, Tommy, if you don't have enough people to do the back office work that was necessary for inspections and control, you don't have it now, you're not going to have it in the future, you're still going to be hung up in this problem for a bit longer.
Before we run out of time, Troop NOLA State Police, Judge Susie Morgan saying she's going to keep an eye on it. State Police, they've had some problems. Is she overstepping? What do you think?
That's a very strong legal question. I don't know the answer, but I know the question of collaboration and coordination. I was a state police chief and a city chief. This is the city of New Orleans. If the state police send a troop, it's got to be, I think, under the direction of the superintendent of New Orleans Police, because this is our city. This is her demands. This is her plans. The state police, I don't have any idea what they're going to do, but if they come to New Orleans and create their own crime plan, that's going to be very disruptive to the community who's not going to see it as a collaborative effort, and it's going to be a serious concern. They got to work together, but I think the chief of police in New Orleans has to win the debate on where are we going to put people, where are we going to ask the troopers to help us, how are we going to ask them to help us. That's the collaboration and coordination piece for me as a chief, being both a state and a local chief. Let's see where that goes. I hope it goes that way. You can't have two police departments in one city, is my point.
Do you think they'll work it out?
Oh, I hope so. I'm just laying out that ought to be the aspirational goal, is that ultimately the superintendent's going to be the decision maker. If we need you to be in the 5th district tonight, or we need you to be in the 7th district tonight, we don't need 100 of you standing at Canal and Bourbon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Ronald Sir, past professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice, former NOPD superintendent. We're going to talk to Steve Geller when we come back, WWL sports director. We'll talk about what Dennis Allen said with Ryan Ramczyk, Michael Thomas making some noise on social media, and we'll talk about NFL rule changes. Some of them pretty interesting when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.